Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we conclude our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide, and gosh, what a study it's been. We'll be picking up with the epilogue on page 119 of the study guide, so if you have your copy, go ahead and turn to page 119 right now, because it is indeed our Friday study edition of Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This whole study has been done to answer the question, how does the Christian life really work? How is it supposed to work? So many people struggle with that very question. They lean on their own understanding. They rely on their own human effort. They try to pull themselves up by their bootstraps to try to make this Christian life work. When they fall flat on their faces, they get up, they dust themselves off, they promise to do more, to be more, to try harder, all of those sort of things. And that cycle just continues until they throw up their hands in frustration and say, Lord, I can't do this. And it's at that moment that God's grace can really start to penetrate and say, you not only needed grace for salvation, to take you from death to life, you need the very grace of God to empower you to live out what you and who you now are in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
That's what this study has been all about, and it is one of the most practical lessons that we can learn. And if we as believers will grasp hold of the way the Christian life is supposed to work by grace through faith in Jesus from start to finish, we will see incredible fruit just follow us in every area of our lives. That's the power of the grace of God. And so that's what this study has been all about. We're going to end on a high note as far as the grace of God is concerned. And as I tweeted out today, we're going to tell, I think, one of the most moving stories in all of the New Testament. It is Paul at the end of his life, and he summons the leaders together from Ephesus, and they meet him at another place, and he has one of the most personal, intimate meetings and conversations with a group that's recorded in all of the book of Acts and all of his writings. Now, Paul is on a journey to Jerusalem. He is compelled by the Spirit of God to go there. He doesn't know what he's going to find there. He doesn't know what he's going to happen to him there, but he's compelled to go. So he is going to Jerusalem, regardless of what anybody tells him. And as he gathers this group of leaders from Ephesus on his journey, he informs him that that's what's going to take place. He is going to go to Jerusalem, and he's compelled by the Holy Spirit. I think of the verse in Philippians that kind of summarizes Paul's personal philosophy. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So Paul knew his life was a win-win either way.
Yes.
If he was killed in the journey, he was going to go be with the Lord, and that is far better. If he wasn't, he could continue to do what God had called him to do. And so as he gathered, he gave them that task. He said, I want to finish the race. I want to carry out to the end what God has given me to do. And it's recorded for us in Acts 20:24. And Richard, would you just read this passage? And I want you, our listeners, to take special note of what Paul is saying here, because it's very, very important. It's vital. It's critical. If every pastor on this planet would memorize this verse and would adopt it as their personal mission statement, I guarantee you the church would explode. Revival would happen the world over. It turned the world upside down 2,000 years ago. It's the same power that's available to us today. It will turn the world upside down today. So let's take a close listen to what Paul is saying as far as the task of ministry really is.
However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace.
Okay. There it is.
There it is.
Just as plain and as clear as it possibly can be. He considered his life worth nothing. His only aim was to finish the race and to complete the task the Lord had given him. And he very clearly stated what that task was, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Yeah. As far as Paul was concerned, there was nothing else to talk about. Yeah. There was no other message to deliver. And it didn't matter the point that any person that he encountered was at. They may have been an unbeliever. Well, in that situation, he brought the saving grace of God. They could have been somebody struggling in sin. In that situation, he brought the grace of God to be the teacher so that that teacher could help them learn to say no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ. If they needed encouragement, he delivered the grace of God. Somebody at the end of their lives, he comforted them with the words of God's grace. So it didn't matter who he encountered and where they were along their journey. Grace was always the message, and grace always found relevance and application at that particular point in any person's life. Grace is everything. It's grace at the beginning, grace in the middle, grace at the end. So Paul wanted to finish this race. He wanted to finish it strong. He wanted to complete the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Richard, if every single pastor on this planet adopted this as their personal mission statement, what would that do as far as the church is concerned? How would that change our voice? How would it change our culture? How would it turn this world upside down that we live in today?
Well, the first thing it would do is cause great division in the church, which would be a good thing, because the hangers-on would say, I don't want this. The people who were left, who are the true children of God, would begin to overflow, as God designed, with his love and grace to each other, strengthen each other, building each other up in the faith, and therefore pouring that love out into their communities, into their cities, into their countries. And one by one, this would grow exponentially. I mean, you've heard the experiments. Give me $1 today and $2 tomorrow. In just a few weeks, I'm a millionaire. That's the same thing that would happen to the church. One by one, and then one by one, and then one by one, this would absolutely revolutionize the church and revolutionize our message into the world. People would still complain. There would still be persecution. As don't get always. Me wrong.
Yeah.
But the message would be consistent.
Yes.
That's the thing we fall down on now. We're inconsistent. It's good news today and bad news tomorrow. Not if we would do this. If we consistently preach just the grace of God, there's no telling the impact we could have.
The purity of this message has gone away.
Yeah,
it is brought up. It shows up here and there and just a few places. But then it's mixed in.
Yes.
That purity of God's grace is mixed in with all sorts of other messages. We take messages from the world. We take secular information and we try to blend it with the good news of Jesus Christ. We take legalistic teaching and try to blend it with the grace of God. And whenever we do, we rob the grace of God of its power to bring about salvation. We rob it of its power to enable us to live out who we are as children of God. So mixed messages are ruining the church today.
Yes.
So we have to get back to this purity of the gospel. We have to get back to this task of testifying to the good news of God's grace, as Paul made that known in Acts 20:24. It is one of the most powerful verses in all of the Word of God. Now, there are a lot of people that complain and criticize the grace of God. You're being light on sin. You're saying you're against law. You're saying all of these sort of things. You're going to give people a license to sin. There's a lot of people that don't like to teach the grace of God because they're afraid. There are many people, for example, that won't teach the grace of giving because they're afraid if they teach the grace of giving, then their congregation will stop giving.
Yeah, they'll go to sleep.
Well, I guarantee you that's not the case. So we know plenty of pastors who have gone before their congregations and said, as far as this giving thing is concerned, I've been teaching you all wrong. And today I want to start afresh and I want to teach you about the grace of giving. I want to teach you about this grace of God. I want your gifts to be generated by the work of God's Spirit in your life. And as they've started teaching the grace of God, connecting people to the grace of God, grounding people in the grace of God, encouraging people to grow in the grace of God, guess what they've seen? They've seen their giving go up. Yeah. Why? Because folks are responding to the work of God's Spirit in their lives. So this is something that we really have to grab hold of. This is our task. This is the church's task. There is none other. And if we try to think there's some other task other than testifying to the grace of God, we're going down the wrong path. That's just as plain and as clear as I can give it. If you are trying individually to go down a different path other than the way of grace, you're going in the wrong direction. And your destination is not a good destination. If you're trying to earn your salvation through your good works, it's going to lead you to death. If you're saved and you're trying to maintain your standing through good works, through human effort, through relying on your own understanding, you're going to be robbed of the joy of the Lord that is actually your strength.
Yes.
You're going in the wrong direction. It's time to stop and say, Lord, turn me around. Connect me to your grace. Let grace have its way in my life.
Yeah.
That's what we need to be.
Absolutely.
And that's what Paul was all about. It's grace, grace, grace.
From start to finish.
From start to finish.
Our Friday study is from the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide, and Bob Christopher is here, Richard Piper is here, and I'm glad that you're here as well. My name is Bob Davis, and I said at the top of the broadcast, we're concluding the study today, and if you have missed any of the sessions, we encourage you to go to our archive. You'll find it at basicgospel.net. Just click the radio drop-down menu and then select Teaching Edition. There you'll find the full archive, and there you'll also be able to order a copy of the book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and the study guide, and we encourage you to study through it at your own pace. Again, that's basicgospel.net, the radio drop-down menu, and then select Teaching Edition. Please keep in mind also, friends, that Basic Gospel is indeed a listener-supported program. If what you're hearing is helping you, well, we ask you to help us to keep the good news on the air with a gift today. Just visit basicgospel.net to make your contribution, and or you can call 844-322-2742. That's our universal number. It's available 24 hours daily, right around the clock. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or basicgospel.net. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. So in essence, as far as this statement that Paul made, there is no good news apart from the grace of God. The
Correct.
Simple gospel is simply grace from start to finish. And Paul was willing to die for that message.
Yes.
Die in proclaiming that message. There was nothing that motivated him more than just being able to deliver that good news. It was the most important thing in his life. He wanted it to be the most important thing in every person's life that he ministered to. So this grace of God is the overarching truth of the gospel. And now as he ended this meeting with these elders from Ephesus, he concluded, he gave a benediction. And I love this particular benediction in Acts 20, verse 32. Richard, read what it says there to us.
Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified.
So what did he commit these elders to?
To God himself and to the word of his grace.
Word of his grace. Nothing else.
Nothing else.
Nothing else. He didn't commit them to, any of these, issues that we have today that they had in front of them back in the day to, You know, we need to make the world moral. We need to do this. We need to do that. He simply committed them to God and to the word of his grace. And then he said some things about the grace of God. He said that this grace can build you up. So if you encounter people who are down, who are low, what is it that's going to build them up? We can have positive affirmations. We can try to get them to start thinking more positively than negatively. We can do all those sort of things, yeah. But that is just a temporary fix. It's the grace of God that's going to build you up on a permanent basis, and it's also going to give you an inheritance. The grace of God provides an inheritance, and so in knowing that, it can anchor us here today. We know what's up ahead, and it's great. It's wonderful. And that hope can anchor us right here and change the way we think and act and treat those that we encounter in life. So Paul, in his benediction to these elders from Ephesus, handed them over to God and to the word of his grace. I know when I first moved out to Dallas and didn't know what life was going to bring me, my dad grabbed me and he took my face in his hands and he prayed some of the most moving words I've ever heard. And it was a benediction. What was he doing? He was committing me to God and to the word of his grace. My mom wrote a letter that I've probably read 1,000 times doing the same thing. And it was that prayer and that letter that have encouraged me for almost 35 years in ministry. This is my 35th year working in this ministry of being able to share this good news. Why? Because it's the good news that changed me. It's the good news that continues to change me. It's the grace of God that continues to work inside of me. And so I count it an honor and a privilege to be able to communicate those same incredible, life-changing, life-empowering words of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to commit one another to God and to the word of his grace. And it's interesting, when you read all of the letters that Paul writes, every single one of them ends on this note of grace. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. That's how he ends every single letter. I think you get what's important to Paul and what should be important to us. Now, Paul isn't the only one who was committed to testifying to the grace of God. All the apostles were committed to that same task, and they carried it out wherever they went. Peter wrote two letters. And in those letters, we see what was important to him. At the end of his first letter, he wrote these words, "With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God." So what was the first letter of Peter all about?
The true grace of
the
God.
The true grace of God. And so he encourages us to stand fast in that grace.
Yeah.
That's what we've been moved into. Mm-hmm. By faith, we are now standing in this grace of God. So Peter is saying, stand fast in it. He's testified that this is the pure, the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. There's no other place that you need to be. There's no other place that you want to be than in the grace of God. So stand fast in it. And then in his second letter, he ended it in exactly the same way. "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." So what is his encouragement to us here? Not to grow in legalism, and not to grow in all the do nots, do not taste, do not touch, do not handle.
All the stuff.
He says grow in the grace of God, in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And those two go hand in glove, don't they, Richard?
Oh, yeah, because as we've been talking about the whole time, grace is Jesus. So if you're going to grow in grace, you're going to grow in the knowledge of him. That's the only way there is to do this. You can't set it aside and say, well, this is grace, and this is the knowledge of Jesus. No, you're getting to know Jesus. Again, what is eternal life? To know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent.
Yes, and Peter in his letter said, this grace that has come to you is something that angels long to look into. They don't know the grace of God. They will never experience the grace of God. Only those of us who have received the grace of God by faith in Jesus Christ know what that's all about. And as a matter of fact, we're going to stand as an eternal testament to the power of God's grace. Paul wrote this, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Yeah. We're eternal witnesses to the grace of God. We are eternal trophies to the grace of God. All of creation will look at us and they will say, wow, those are the folks that experienced the fullness of God's life. They were made alive by grace. They were included in the story of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Those are the people that know what God is all about. Those are the people that know him personally and intimately. Those are the folks that know grace. Man, I wish I could know that grace of God. Yeah. That's what this is all about. We will stand as a permanent, perpetual, eternal trophy of the work of God's grace in our lives. Yeah. That's what this is all about. I love what Paul wrote to Timothy, fight the good fight. Fight of the faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. This grace has been given to you. Take hold of it, my friends. Man, dive in, head first, both feet. Let this be your way of life from this point forward. You will never, ever, ever be disappointed. You know, you go to the very beginning of the Word of God. You read this passage, in the beginning, God. So what does the Bible start with? God. It starts with God. It's his story, his unfolding story about his son. You go to the very end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation. You read this, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen.
Yep.
Man, if we're going to have any connection to God, the only way it's going to happen is through the grace of the Lord Jesus. That's how we're saved. That's how we grow in this relationship. And that's what's going to propel us forward, even eternally. It's grace, grace, grace. And we pray that this grace of God will be front and center in your mind, that you will discover the way of grace in your life and recognize that this is the only way the Christian life really works from start to finish, by grace, through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our prayer for you, that grace would have its way inside of you.
Absolutely. Doesn't get any better than this, guys. Thank you for an incredibly rich story. The story of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Well, thanks for joining us for this study, everybody, through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. It's been a superb study, and we're glad that you've been with us. I hope you've been with us since session one. If not, you can find the complete audio archive of these study editions under the radio drop-down menu at basicgospel.net. Again, that's radio drop-down menu at basicgospel.net. Then just select Teaching Edition. Now, to all of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts, thank you. Because of your support, Basic Gospel can take the good news to those who desperately need to hear that God loves them and has provided an abundant life for them. To help with the gift today, click the prominent link on the homepage at basicgospel.net. And when you do, we have a special gift for you as our way of saying thank you for your partnership with us at Basic Gospel. So again, that's at basicgospel.net. Or you can call anytime, 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. That number is available to you. That's our universal number, 844-322-2742. Well, that's it for another week at Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we're looking forward already to having you join us for another live edition of Basic Gospel on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.